Letting go and letting God be your hope will be our topic today as we hear in this comment from Mike McIntosh to introduce this edition of Chapter and Verse.
When you're humble enough to admit that you have weaknesses, God can work. You don't have to hold on to everything. You don't need to be in charge of everything. You don't need to fix everything. You don't have to have everything your way. People are not lesser human beings because they don't live up to your standard. Your weaknesses, just let go. And that old saying, let God. Well, here you just found a verse. He is helping us with our weaknesses. And that's when you can say, Lord, I can't do it. Would you please help me? I can't do it.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Welcome to CMV, where our teacher, Mike McIntosh, is leading us into more practical Bible study from the book of Romans. Today, our verse-by-verse review of this New Testament book takes us once again to the 8th chapter. As Christians, we see the world as it really is, physically decaying and spiritually infected with sin. But this honest view should not lead us to pessimism, because we have God's firm promise of eternal glory, and that should bring us hope. Having an earnest expectation of hope, that's the topic of our teaching today on Chapter and Verse. So now let's join Mike and open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 as he begins our study in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for Pastor Alwyn. We thank you for the musicians that so humbly serve, but are so talented. I thank you for that jazz band that was there and how they are so well known, and yet they came in the afternoon on Sunday to just bless us as we were in between teaching. Thank you, Lord, for what a church of so many different colored skinned people, just all in love with one another and with you. And I pray for Horizon Christian Fellowship, Lord, that we would just be a church of love, and that we would not hold our friends back from what we know and hide our light under a bushel, but we would reach out to them. And we pray that we'll be used in San Diego to win even more people to the Lord. Father, as we hear things of our town that are disturbing, and it seems like violence and murders and rapes have increased here the last 6 months, we just know that's because the church is not being the salt of the earth. And we're asking, God, that you would get the most troubled people in here to get saved and healed in their heads and hearts. We pray that we would not grow old and stifled and stodgy and conservative in our way that we worship or even preach or teach or listen, but we'd be on fire for you because you were willing to go to the cross for us. So I ask now, like in the first service, that you would open our understanding as we see these great things that you have done. God, we want more of you. We're desperate because we're nothing without you, and we can accomplish nothing without you. So God, please, 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 pour your spirit out on every woman sitting here and light her up like Lucy, and someone that just has a child to raise and a husband to look after and yet has this brilliant ministry of being able to meet tens of thousands of people and be humble about it. Help us all, whatever kind of a job we have, we do it to your glory. Lord, let us see our flesh die and surrender to you. God, get us off the fence. Keep us from being lukewarm. Light the fire in our hearts, Lord, and let us stand for you and enter into the battle as the laborers are few. Bless your word now and pour it into the souls of those that are willing to receive. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Chapter 8, verse 19. We ended with the sufferings of this present time that you and I can suffer through are not worthy to be compared at all to the glory, or with the glory which is going to be revealed in us. And there is a tremendous glory that is going to be in us that will come out of us, and we will no longer be living in these bodies, that God would use us as his vessels. And that's who we are and really what we are. For here he tells us, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Would you circle in the two verses the words creation? It's come out in just two verses. Nothing about evolution. It's about creation. I'd like you to just take note, because you're going to see it many more times. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation, and there we go again, the creation was subjected to futility, so it's decaying, it's rotting, it's falling apart, not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it in hope. And because the creation, there it is again, itself also will be delivered. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's you and me. There's something about you and me we don't have yet that Paul saw. And we know, underline that, that's very emphatic. We know this as a fact as Christian men and women, that the whole creation, now he uses the word again, but he gives us a descriptive part, the whole creation, not part of it or some of it or an evolutionary thing or something scientists can come up with 2,000 years later. But we know this right now, first century, that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only that, that's an expletive, it's an excitement. Not only that, let me tell you this. I can get your payments down to whatever you want them. It's like he's selling us here. But not only that, that's all great news, but I've got something here for you. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, Christians, we groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Oh, Lord, come quickly. How often you've done that? Groaned. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with, say the word together with me, perseverance. We're not wimps. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We persevere. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit, now this is so great because you say, well, I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes, you get hit. I make a hospital call and I overlap into other people's rooms that don't know me and I let them know I'm a minister. And you see the injustices of life and it's just, ooh, to the parking lot. You just can't utter. But the Spirit in you can utter. And he's inside of me and he's looking at my heart and he knows what I would say. And the wonderful thing is the book of Revelation says that the prayers are working with the Holy Spirit, since you just saw he's working. The angels are working in conjunction because the prayers are carried in golden vials, which that word for vials was not a tube. I was happy to look that up. It didn't mean that. It meant a deep, shallow bowl, shallow going this way, and deep in the center that it didn't fill all the way to the top. But otherwise the prayers were down here and the angels carry them into the throne room and there's sweet fragrance like an aroma. It's like we're here right now and God wants you to know he's here. And there's a restlessness in the crowd that I'm just waiting for it to settle down so God can say what he wants to say to you. And once it settles down, then you're open because you see the distractions and you feel it and you don't know what it is. But the angels are waiting for prayer, for more people to pray, so they can fill a bowl and go see him. And you're not just sitting here thinking you've come to church, but you've come to hear about God and that he loves you and he wants his presence to just manifest itself to you. But some are not ready. You're not mature enough. It would scare the dickens out of you. You got your head shaved and you'd grow an afro immediately if he tapped your shoulder and said, "Hey, I'm talking to you." He loves you. Give him a moment. You're going to be gone in a few moments. Let him just show himself to you, because you show yourself to him when you talk from your heart. And if you haven't been talking, this is a great place to talk with hundreds of Christians around you and hundreds on the internet and radio network. Thousands. So this is a worship time. Even when you're listening, worship him. Tell him how much you love him. He sent you your pastor back from England that's telling you there's something going on that he doesn't have words for. But the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. And he can take prayers up to God. Even when we don't know what it is we should say. So we've seen therefore, and not only that, and we know there's hope. Hope does not disappoint. He tells us in the 5th chapter. But here he says, for we were saved in this hope. What? The hope that our bodies would be changed and we'd go to heaven. But hope, you know, we've learned from our president, I can give you hope and change, with real change. Yeah, we got pocket change left, that's all. We ourselves groan, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. We're saved in this hope. But hope that is seen, it's no longer hope. For why does one still hope for what he can see? You've got it. You don't hope for that anymore. You hope for what you can't see. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit. Just in the same manner. You're waiting now. You're going to say, okay, I've been waiting 5 years. I really haven't done much. Just I'm waiting. He hasn't told me to go forward. I've just been, and I've watched him. I've watched him work inside of this church and prune and cut back and people leave and people come. And it's just, I'm on hold because he's going to do something brand new. I don't want to miss it. So I have a great expectation in perseverance that God wants to do something special with you. So we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. I just want to ask by a show of hand, other than myself, is there anyone here that has weaknesses of any kind? Really? Oh, I'm among friends. Okay, I guess I can take my shoes off, my boots. Just think of that. When you're humble enough to admit that you have weaknesses, God can work. You don't have to hold on to everything. You don't need to be in charge of everything. You don't need to fix everything. You don't have to have everything your way. People are not lesser human beings because they don't live up to your standard. Your weaknesses, just let go. And that old saying, let God. Well, here you just found a verse. He is helping us with our weaknesses. And that's when you can say, Lord, I can't do it. Would you please help me? I can't do it. So he will speak in intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God is searching your heart right now as we're here together to worship him. He's searching our hearts. And that's why in the Old Testament it says, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. That man that wrote that down, he knew that his heart wasn't perfect. And he knew that his spirit was empty. Now maybe your spirit is empty and you're not very spiritual right now. Well, just cry out that prayer. It's a beautiful song. Create in me a clean heart. God, you create the clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. I used to have one, but I don't. You've quote-unquote backslidden, you've fallen away, you're into some old things that you know you should get out of, and today's the day. So you just say, God, you create, I'm trying to do good things and feel good about myself to cover up what I've done. You create, it's your job, create a clean heart in me. Forgive me for the filth that I've allowed to come into my heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Renew it. On the way back, there was this giant of a German man. He was from Germany. And I could tell the way he talked, and I heard him tell me that. And his wife and daughter were sitting in front in the rows up ahead of us. And I was watching a movie, and I thought it was just a basic thriller movie, and all of a sudden there came a scene with a guy and a girl, and said, "Ooh!" So I grabbed the remote, and he kept looking over at my screen. And I said, "I don't want him to see this." I was pushing the thing, and what I did is I got slow motion of that scene. And he's looking over, and I said, "Wonder why are you looking?" And then somebody stands right behind my row, and they have their elbow on. I mean, they're looking at this ugly scene. So I lean into the thing, and I'm going, "Ooh, I got it. I got it. Oh, no. What? Oh, I just changed the size of the screen. Oh, now they're going like that fast. Oh, no, no, I couldn't erase it." And then I thought of my heart. I don't like to see things like that. A little bit of it came into my mind, and I, for a few moments, had it in slow motion. And I had it going fast, and then just the thought of it, and the fear that is one of you that put your elbow on my, and were standing there watching what I was watching, and you were rebuking me in the spirit, and this guy over here was a Secret Service Christian church agent that was, "What you watching over there? What you watching over there? What you watching over there?" Well, yeah, I mean, I'm being serious, but I felt so bad. But I did think, kind of stupid, I'm trying to get this thing out of the world, and I made it more accessible. I didn't mean that. So I realized thoughts, oh, dirty thoughts. Oh, Lord, please erase them with the blood of Jesus. That works for me. I'm serious. It's worked for years. Erase that tape. I don't ever want to see that person in my mind again. Don't want to get that movie out of there. And please erase it. And ask the Lord to create a clean heart. And he does. So I know in a crowd this size, there's some of you that do not have a clean heart. It's filthy. It's dirty. You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. And so it creates in your heart filth. It's that filth that 2,000 years ago, supernaturally, God seeing the future, took that filth and put it on his son and then condemned his son to death because of that filth in your unclean heart. So I don't want to re-crucify Christ. He was crucified once. He was buried and raised from the dead. And some doctrines say we keep crucifying Christ so we have these communion services. And that's not biblical. Maybe churchical, but it's not biblical. So whatever is in your heart, God, as we get ready to take communion, create in me a clean heart. And then you be honest with yourself. I got talking to this man. Sounds like a very successful photographer from London. And his buddy was from Spain. And he said, "How can I get involved with what you're doing? I'm so excited to hear what you do and what your church is like. You need a photographer." And I said, "Not at $400 an hour, but if it's free." I said, "You know what you need to do? I was 26 years old when I came to the Lord." He said, "Well, I'm 26 years old." And I said, "I could tell you what all the things you're involved in right now." He said, "Don't do it, please. I'm ashamed." And I said, "Well, that's why God is speaking to you. You heard God speak when I spoke. So you come to San Diego, go to the Horizon School of Evangelism, and at the end of that, ask God, what is it I'm supposed to do for you? I want to surrender myself and never live the life I have been living. Would you be willing to do that?" I got a text, an email from him yesterday. "When can I come?" I've got several people from England that want to come. It's kind of an amazing thought. Oh, this is cool. I'm standing, talking to people as they're leaving on Saturday. And this young man, about 6'3", is taller than me, probably 24 or something. He says, "Thank you for sending Bill Goodrich to the Ukraine. Bill Goodrich, I led Bill and Vi to the Lord when we first started in San Diego. And she was a beautiful stewardess for PSA Airlines, and he was a realtor. He flew in Vietnam in the back seat of jets. And they both came to the Lord together. And their lives were changed." Well, Bill just, you know, I'd ask him to do stuff, and he'd do it. He just wanted somebody to teach him. And he became my assistant pastor after a few years. And then for about 8 to 10 years, he was the church administrator. And then it was time for him to leave and some other people at the same time. And So I said, well, just, you know, keep praying and I'll pray. And all of you that feel something new's coming, pray. We'll see what God does. So Bill went back to Indianapolis, where he's from. And Vi and her sister had an apartment, condo there. And they moved in, really with no money. They started a Bible study with just them and then a couple of her friends. And today it's Rising Christian Fellowship of Indianapolis. They have an 88, well, they got more, over 100 acres now of property. Have a beautiful elementary, junior, high school. They have dormitories. They have a camp there. They have rope deals. You slide down in the forest, the virgin forest. There's lakes and ponds on the church property. Just beautiful. And then he felt God spoke to him. Bill's a great prayer warrior. And he prayed about a school that the school district wanted to sell. Then it was down in one of the rougher areas, and Bill went down there without any money, and he bid $26,000 on this two-story brick school. And that was the winning bid. But he didn't have the money. They said, you over here, you get the school. And a man walked up to him, and he said, I own the businesses on the left-hand side of this school, and you will have a check if you come over to my office, and I will give you the $26,000. And I don't think he was a Christian man, but the point was that if somebody good in the name of Jesus was coming next door, he knew the gang problems. It was a very wise thought of him, why he'd invest. So now out of that church, there are now churches throughout the country. And there are 9 Horizons in Indianapolis, and there are others in Wisconsin, Illinois, and other places in Indianapolis. So I'm standing there, and this guy says, thank you for sending us Bill Goodrich. And I'm thinking, Indiana. Well, Bill got a heart for the Ukraine. And he said, I'm from the Ukraine. I said, oh, yeah. He said, Bill has started several churches. And we've grown up with him and George Markey and his family. And now we have just started churches in Kyrgyzstan, 2 or 3. He said, Mike, do you know that there are now 15 to 20 Horizons just in the Ukraine and now into Kyrgyzstan? I said, no, I didn't know that. And then his wife came up, and he said, you know, she came to Jesus, Bill led her with the Lord in Ukraine, and then she kept telling me, as her boyfriend, come to church, we're not going to church. And he came, and the second time he gave his heart to Jesus, and now he's in a business, his company moved him to London, but he's in like Bible school through the church and wants to be a minister when he goes back to his people. So you sit here, and one man and one woman who had every problem you and I have had, heard God call him, go to Indianapolis, have no money to speak of, maybe a couple hundred bucks in the bank, take their 2 little children, and God, through them, what he saw here, worked through Bill, happened, and now it's happening in the Ukraine, which is a pretty big place, and Kyrgyzstan, which is a full-blown Muslim country. You are there. People like you are exactly who God uses. He uses you. So before we take the communion, let me leave you with some pencil work. If you would please take out a pen, or a pen would be best, and I want you to circle some special words for what God has done for you. Verse 19, I want to point out, earnest. Write that one down or circle it. Earnest. You know, when somebody's really earnest, in a real estate sense, it's a down payment. They will give you, here's a check for $10,000. I'm earnest about buying this property. Let me talk to my banker, and then we'll write the deal. It's earnest money. Very strongly committed. So verse 19, for the earnest expectation. So, a lot of people are losing their expectations and their hope in this country. I'm sorry. Our country's really in trouble. Expectations. Did you quit having expectations?
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close part one of the teaching, Having an Earnest Expectation of Hope. And we'll pick up right here on our Thursday broadcast of CNV. Once again, I'd like to remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right. You can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through the service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, easy, and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse available at MikeMacintosh.com. Also, be sure to check out our new YouTube page. It's Chapter and Verse Radio. Next time on Chapter and Verse, we'll continue our studies of Romans and hear part two of Mike's message, Having an Earnest Expectation of Hope. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.